as always, I'd just like to start with a little bit of geography. And I've put a little map on the screen, a sort of aerial view of the West End of London. And I've put some Christmas trees on the map just to show us where we're going to explore this evening. So we're going to start off right down here, right in the heart of London, quite literally the geographical centre of London. That's Trafalgar Square. And then we're going to have a little wander over towards Covent Garden to see the Christmas lights and tree there. And then we're going to sort of have a little wander. Well, we have little sort of diversions, but we're going to sort of wander over here to Westminster, possibly down here, down the Mall, towards Buckingham Palace. And then we're going to wander up to St. James and up Regent Street along Piccadilly to visit some very beautiful shops, some of the best Christmas shops in London, up towards Regent Street, Oxford Street. We're going to have a little look in the little village of Marylebone, which is one of the little sort of hidden secret villages of London, where they have wonderful Christmas lights and shops. And then we're going to sort of wander back and end sort of around about here, which is Soho, and finish with a bit of Christmas entertainment, I think. So that's the plan. And we're going to start by talking about the most famous Christmas tree that we have in London. And that's in Trafalgar Square. And 2 weeks ago, actually a bit longer now, but maybe nearly 3 weeks ago, the tree that's in Trafalgar Square was being felled. And you can see a picture of it there. And it's being felled in a forest just near Oslo in Norway. Yes, our Christmas tree in Trafalgar Square comes all the way from Norway. And normally, the mayor of Oslo and the Norwegian ambassador and the mayor of Westminster are normally present at the felling ceremony, but I don't think they were all present this year due to the current situation. And then about, I guess, 2 weeks ago, there's the tree in Trafalgar Square being hauled up in position just behind Nelson's Column. And there it is, fully erected, in front of the National Gallery. And it's 80 years old, by the way, this tree. It's a Norwegian spruce, it always is. It's 70 feet high and it weighs 200 tons. Now, we have had a Christmas tree in Trafalgar Square since 1947. And this, in fact, is a photograph of the first ceremony in 1947. Now, why do we have a Christmas tree from Norway in London? Well, it goes all the way back to the Second World War. In 1940, when Norway was occupied by the Nazis, the royal family and the government came to London and found safe haven. And actually, a tree was brought over to London to make the King of Norway feel at home while he was in exile in London. And after the end of the Second World War, it was decided that as a gift to London to say thank you for providing safe haven, we would have a Christmas tree every year. So it's a really fantastic story behind the Christmas tree. And I'm just going to show you now, in fact, what happened just last week, December the 3rd, the lights were switched on December the 3rd at 6 p.m. And for the first time since 1947, that it was all done virtually. We didn't have, crowds and crowds of people around the tree. And you'll notice that the lights are all sort of hanging vertically from the tree, because that is the Norwegian tradition. And I have to say, if you take take kids around Trafalgar Square or young people, they get a bit, because particularly in daytime, but it's not lit, it looks a bit kind of straggly. That's just the way that Norwegian spruces are, really. And people were expecting a much bigger tree. But we do have bigger trees, and I'll show you, I think, my favourite tree a little bit later. So, and there, beautifully lit behind the tree, is the National Gallery, and we're going to perhaps pop there just a little bit later, because Christmas in the National Gallery is always lovely. But before we do that, there's another image of the tree. I think that's from last year in Trafalgar Square, so that's last year's tree. And just behind that to the left, you can see beautifully lit up St. Martin in the Fields Parish Church, which dates to the early 1700s. And the reason I mention that is many of you that know London will know that they have a wonderful crypt underneath the church where they have an excellent cafe. But also this time of year, they have the very best Christmas cards, I think, on sale. And the reason that you should go to St. Martin in the Fields shop to get your Christmas cards is because they have a small section where all of the profits go to charity, all of the profits. And actually, St Martin's, for a very long time, for decades, have done an awful lot of work with the homeless. So all the profits go to making sure that homeless people have somewhere to sleep and something to eat over Christmas. So I always think that's really important. Now, I hope you've all done your Christmas cards. Yes, all done your Christmas cards, have you? Hope so. Well, if you haven't, and you're, you know, thinking to yourself, why do we have to write these Christmas cards every year? You know, if you're looking for somebody to blame for having to do Christmas cards every year, you're going to blame this man. And when I say this man, I'm talking about the man who's just here. I'm going to point to him with my cursor, because this is Henry Cole, and this is the first Christmas card that was ever created. Now, who was Sir Henry Cole? Well, Sir Henry Cole was a civil servant, and sort of he was in finance, and he was a sort of a bit of a mover and a shaker in the Victorian period, and he of course had to write, you know, dozens of hundreds of letters to business associates and friends and so on, all handwritten, all individually done. He got a bit, you know, fed up of doing this, and so 3 years prior, in 1840, he'd also been responsible for setting up something called the Penny Post, which was whereby you you could send a letter for a penny. So it made, you know, sending post affordable. And prior to that, by the way, it was the people that received the mail that paid the postage rather than the sender paying the postage. So it completely changed the postal system. And he thought, well, let's see how we can get people to take up this rather fabulous idea. So he came up with the idea of a Christmas card. And if you just look on the bottom right of the card, you can see here, there's a little caricature, and this is the artist that created the card, and his name is John Horsley. So he put himself on the card. Now, 1,000 of them were made, and the ones that Henry Cole did not send to his family and friends, he then sold commercially. And they were quite expensive. They were about a shilling, which would be about £5 today. So, you know, quite expensive Christmas card. And this depicts Henry Cole and his wife and children and grandchildren. So three generations of the same family. And this is actually a slightly later edition of the card. And again, all you did, you see, you just had to sign your name at the bottom, just like, you know, we do today. So it was really, really popular. In fact, it became even more popular about 30 years later when the penny post was improved upon by introducing the halfpenny post. And now it cost half a penny to send a card and a penny to send a letter. And printing processes had improved quite a lot. And so the cards became much more affordable. And by the 1880s, 11.5 million cards were being sent in Britain. So it became, you know, a phenomenon, actually. And by the way, do you notice the children sitting at the table, not socially distant, so they'd be all in trouble today, wouldn't they? And also drinking. They're all drinking wine. And the Temperance Society had a fit about this, that they were the anti-alcohol brigade in the 19th century, and they were very cross at Henry Cole, encouraging children to drink. Here he is again, by the way. You might recognise him. That's a beautiful mosaic of Sir Henry Cole. And does anyone know where that is, by the way? Where is that mosaic of Henry Cole? If you think you know, put it in the chat. If I can find the chat along the way, I'll... yes, anyone know? Put it in the chat if you think you know, and I'll tell you in a minute. Put you out of your misery. Okay. And then I have to say, I have to show you these because I got slightly obsessed with looking for these. These are now some examples of Victorian Christmas cards. Now, whoever designed Victorian Christmas cards was clearly a psychopath, quite frankly, because look at them. I mean, on the left, you've got this bizarre-looking clown. You've got these frogs. Frogs were very popular subjects in the Victorian period. A frog being stabbed. You've got this frog dancing with what looks like a scorpion or a lobster. And they've all got lovely Christmas trees. Merry Christmas to you. You know, the cat that's looking about, looks like he's about to, I don't know, kill the kitten behind the milk jug. And then there's another lot here. Look at that, the poor old Robin Redbreast. May you have a lovely Christmas. Children watching a sort of early cinema film with a man chasing a goose with a knife. A very macabre-looking snowman. An owl on Fenny Farthings. If that didn't give you nightmares, I don't know what would. So the Victorian cards were really bizarre. Now, where would you go and get your Christmas cards? Well, I've said that, you know, that lovely church in Trafalgar Square is the place to get them. But actually, in a way, the most authentic place to get your Christmas cards in London is here at the Victorian Albert Museum. And I've just shown you the website with the this year's cards, quite reasonable, pack of eight for £5. And on the card, you can see an image of Victoria and Albert, Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, of course, after whom the museum is named. Now, what's the link there? Did anyone recognise where that image of Henry Cole was? Did anyone work it out? No one feeling brave enough to put it in the chat? No? OK. Well, that mosaic is actually at the Victoria and Albert Museum. And guess what? Sir Henry Cole went on to become the founding director of the Victoria and Albert Museum when it opened in 1857, when it was called the South Kensington Museum. So there's a great link between the founder of the Christmas card and the Victoria and Albert Museum. And by the way, just this week, a first edition of the Christmas card was auctioned. I think it was actually in the US, and I think it was $23,000. So, you know, worth rummaging around in the attic to see if you can find an original Henry Cole Christmas card. Right, now on to... just for a bit of diversion, this is a handmade card, which is in Harrods department store. This is £112, by the way. I see them every year, and they keep putting up the price every year. I think they have perhaps trouble flogging them, I don't know. But there it is. It's that sort of lovely gingerbread house that you can see there. Now, coincidentally, in the same year that the Christmas card was produced...